What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to Fudge Muppet. We've got episode 4 of the podcast, and today we're ranking all of the playable Elder Scrolls races based on lore. No gameplay stuff. We're not going, oh, Breton's great because they've got magic resistance, yada yada. All lore, all history, culture, all that kind of stuff. And we've basically made ourselves each a personal list, and then we're going to try and like debate and sort of put together a Fudge Muppet kind of list. So,
yep, and as you said, people are going to be mad. People will be mad.
Well, so what we're going to do is we're going to go up in sort of threes. We're going to discuss a bottom tier and compare all of ours, and then we're sort of going to debate every single race. So, Michael, hit us with your bottom three first, your bottom tier.
All right. And I already have a feeling that I'm going to come under fire, not for my bottom tier, but for your bottom tier. But my one that I've made is Bretons in position number 10, position number 9, Imperials, and position number 8, I'm sorry, Drew, but I have the Orcs.
Okay, all right.
Questionable decisions there.
All right, Drew, let's hear yours.
Oh, to be fair, I've also got Bretons as number 10, okay, despite actually quite liking them. I have Imperials at number 9 and the High Elves at number 8 in low tier.
Okay. Mm. All right.
What have you got?
I've got 10 Argonians. And then I've got number 9 Imperials and number 8 Ultima High Elves.
Ooh. Yeah. So you don't have the Bretons down near the bottom?
No. It's a little bit higher.
That is interesting. Sorry, what was your number 8?
High Elves.
High Elves, yeah, okay. All right. Now, I guess I'll commentate a little bit on the High Elves, seeing as it wasn't in my bottom tier. Mm-hmm. But I will admit, it's in position number 7. So I generally agree.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the High Elves are pretty cool. As much as people don't like the Thalmor, I tend to separate them from that faction, like from the race. But also how I would view something, you know, I don't know. If I met a Thalmor or had to deal with them trying to mess with my own life, then that's kind of gross. But as far as the actual faction, sorry, as far as the race is concerned in the game, and all the history and lore, I think they're really cool.
My thing is, compared to the rest of the elves, I think they're the most typical, like they're the most classic D&D sort of Lord of the Rings, like high elf kind of vibe thing there. And especially like they had potential. They would have ranked higher if they were that really cool, like, you know, crystal tower, awesome, like glass armor, kind of interesting, kind of unique, a bit more alien. But the fact is they're not in Somerset. In Somerset, they are in the ESO expansion. They are just those, you know, Lorder on high elves kind of vibe thing. They're not interesting enough for me. And I think they, yeah, I don't know. They just don't.
In a way, it seems fair to you. In a way, you kind of have to credit the Ultima for a lot of what the other elven races achieved. You know, like even the Imperial Pantheon is heavily impacted by, you know, the Ultima. And the Ultima, the High Elves, are the closest descendants to the Ultima, the original Old Elves. But yeah, like you kind of just said there, my problem with them is actually just that they haven't doubled. Like, when they've made the games, they haven't really doubled down on what's supposedly really weird about their culture. So, for example, just to kind of get started on the High Elves, you see in the Pocket Guide, they describe the capital city of Alanor as made from glass or insect wings, a hypnotic swirl of ramparts and impossibly high towers designed to catch the light of the sun and break it to its component colours. And instead of that, we essentially just get Art Nouveau, Lord of the Rings elves. You know, the idea is it says the light is so bright that you're thankful for nightfall, whereas that you don't get that at all when you actually see the Somerset Isles.
Although, to be fair, in Elder Scrolls Online, I don't take all the architecture and the landmass to be completely canon, which is one of the reasons I didn't put them as low as you guys did. Like, I put them at 7 because of those things, because it's cool. And I also think, yeah, okay, we got Disneyland, basically, in Elder Scrolls Online. But I do like that, you know, we have Vanis from them, you know, the Sigic Order, the Isle of Arteum. You've got everything from Matamarco and all the dark arts stemming from there. Like, there is a lot of cool stuff with the High Elves that you have to appreciate. But yeah, in general, I definitely agree that out of all of the elves, they're probably the least interesting race to me. For whatever reason, I end up playing them a lot in like third and fourth playthroughs. I kind of, there are some races that I end up playing a lot, whereas other ones, I really like the lore, but I don't end up playing them as much. But yeah, I've got them as number seven, but let's get down to talking about some of the other ones below.
Sorry, what did you guys, did you have Imperials in those bottom three?
Yes.
And you did Drew as well?
Okay, we all had Imperials.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I had Imperials at nine. And we kind of, they're just Roman stand-ins, I think. They're not, there's the cool parts that I do like about it, and the reason they're not my bottom is that they have got, you know, the Reman Empire is really interesting. All of the incarnations of the Empire are quite interesting. And even though it's in the history more so and not so much in the modern games, but the Nibonese-Clovian divide and so on. And they've got a cool mythology about them. Like, if you consider, like, that Alesia and all of that is part of their sort of history mythology, then Reman and all of that, it's got, like, a impact in the mix of Akaviri stuff in with it as well. And, you know, look, Roman kind of stuff, the reason it's popular in lots of fantasy games, because it's cool. It is really cool. But, they still, by comparison to everything else, are, you know, not that crash.
I think we all had them as nine.
Yeah, I had them as nine.
I think we all had them as nine.
Yeah.
And I was pretty much going to say everything you said. I do think that Cyrodiil itself has a lot of really interesting history, but you kind of have to separate the province from the race with Imperials. Like, there are some races where the province is really interrelated with them, like the Argonians, for example, which we'll get into eventually. But the Imperials are definitely, you can't give them credit for all of Cyrodiil's history, because a lot of stuff goes down there, which is really cool, but it's not like Imperial race specific. It's Cyrodiil specific, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
And they do get dumbed down a bit. You know, it kind of just becomes High Medieval England, where, you know, about Cyrodiil, whereas it doesn't really feel like that when you're reading the lore. Like, when you got the Clovian kingdoms warring against the Elysians, you know, it was Rislav who has a great story, who pretty much set about the downfall of the Empire, and he's an Imperial, technically, you could say. So, and then you've got the Nibonese, who, you know, kind of created the role of Battle Mage, and they have an aristocracy based around that. And it's like, this, none of this stuff is really portrayed in the games, which, to be fair, it's hard to do, but it's dumbed down.
Yeah, for sure. Should we start talking about why I've got Argonians at the bottom and why I'm not a big fan? So for me, what I value a lot in all of the races and culture and their lore, a lot of the time is theology and culture and stuff and their religion and so on. And also their interconnectedness with the rest of the world. So for me, Argonians, on one front, they're the least important race to all of Tamriel, would be my take on it. They're barely interconnected with anything. Their biggest, like, political interaction is basically being slaves for Dunmer for thousands of years, and then they have a big, you know, retaliation. It's like, it's all cool and aesthetically, like, yeah, lizards are cool, but what it kind of amounts to for me is they're just like lizard tree lickers, and they just like, and the hiss sap, like, their theology is not complex. It really comes down to like Sithis plus the Hist, and by comparison to a lot of the others, like, and I really like the mythologies or theologies or whatever you want to call them. I really, really appreciate that. And for me, Argonians have one of the most stale ones. This is like, all of the Elder Scrolls races are pretty cool in their own right. This is another thing we'll have to put out a little disclaimer, but like, I don't hate them. I just think every other one is more interesting. And I just think the Imperials, like, even justifying like Imperials over them or something, because Imperials are typically like boring race. Their actual Imperial culture and history and significance to the rest of the world is vital. It's the Argonians could, if you basically just took the Argonians and then threw them away, it doesn't make that much of an impact to the rest of Tamriel. Like, it's not like, oh, they're gone. Like, do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, but there are other races where that's the case. I mean, arguably, you could throw the Khajiit away and it's not like, whoa, my gosh. But
so as replaceable as they could be, the difference is their theology, their biology is heaps complex and heaps different. Like that.
Oh, whoa. Oh, I mean, yeah, okay. Their biology is heaps complex and different. But as far as biology being complex goes, Argonians are right up there with them.
Yeah, they
compared
do.
To all of the
I guess
other
it's
races.
Mainly, I guess maybe mainly for me, the Khajiits also all of their religion, their culture, their biology, into from a world building perspective, are so well intertwined. Like everything matters. Do you know what I mean? And I guess maybe it just comes down to personal preference at the end of the day. But also they do have a religion that's far more interesting than hiss to a leftover from the previous Kalpa, and then they turn these lizards sentient, and then you've got the Argonians.
I mean, I think that's pretty cool. I mean, let me green pill you, mm-hmm. Okay? I'm going to green pill you. So I think the Argonians would rank quite a bit higher. I actually definitely agree with you that they are probably the least significant race. Like, they haven't had a huge impact on history, on the timeline. Mm. And as much, and I definitely, after making that "Are Argonians the Weakest Race" video, I did realize that they kind of are, you know, they have just been slaves. They kind of get trodden on in basically every single military war or conflict ever. But what I'd like about them is that, in the sense that it's almost like they're slaves to the Hist, which I find really interesting, because when the Oblivion Crisis happened, right, and everyone was getting destroyed by Daedra, the Argonians rallied, they went in and they defeated basically the Daedra with the help of the Hist. The Hist, you know, called them together, gave them like superpowers basically, and helped them win. And one of the interesting things about that is you can theorize the only reason the Hist did that is because the Hist were threatened. You know, like, no one can get into Black Marsh. No one can fully conquer it because it's, you know, pretty inhospitable. But the Daedra could, in theory. And then, oh, the Hist come and save the day. You know, it's almost like the Argonians just serve the Hist. But I actually like that, because this video is not what's the strongest race. You know, it's kind of like... And the Hist, there's heaps of mystery to the Hist and their true motives. You know, why don't they just help the Argonians take over all of Tamriel if they can just, you know, give them superpowers, essentially. And other things, like, in terms of... I agree that theology with the Hist isn't as interesting as, say, Dunmer theology, but I mean, it's still interesting to me, and I like the whole biology, like the ingesting of the sap and all the stuff related to their birth cycles. They have heaps of different tribes, each having their own customs about romance and different things. Obviously, you've got all the shadow scales, the stuff about swimming like tadpoles, Hist sap stimulating hormones and making them sprout sexual organs, and all these alien concepts about hatching from eggs. And
it's cool.
There's cool stuff.
But I just think it kind of becomes almost an argument for why the Hist is a good race and the Argonians are kind of just their errand boys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I would argue that they're almost related.
Well,
like,
they are.
Sorry, not related, but one in the same. I know they're not, but they're kind of like... The relationship between the two is so strong, especially in a time of need, that it's almost like, you know, if the Argonians are just kind of a way that the Hist... kind of used to interact with the outer world, then they kind of, they're not the Hist, but you kind of get where I'm going with it. And the other thing is, if you've played Elder Scrolls Online, the Argonians do have some pretty interesting architecture. Like, it's not just a big swamp. Like, there's, I mean, obviously you can't give them credit for all of the old Imperial forts, but the Aztec stuff is really cool. And I know that's been done before. Like, if you look at Warhammer 40, not 40K actually, but if you look at Warhammer, the Lizardmen, I think they're really cool, but they also have the Aztec stuff. But there's also, and this sounds really lame, but there's also mud huts, which are not as boring as they sound. If you actually go and look at these mud huts, they're quite big. They have like these Telvanni vibes. They look like these big root vegetables almost planted in the ground. Like, they're these big spherical kind of like houses that they live in. There's also just normal wooden ones and stuff. And also, on top of their biology, the aesthetic, man. Like, you've got all the feathered hair, you've got the fins, the horns, the different colors, and they also decorate their society with lizard hides, feathers, and things like that, which is funny because it's almost decorating your society in your own skin. Like, it'd be really weird for humans to do that,
but
you know?
It's that thing where it's like cool enough for me. It's like cool, but like, you know, all of the aesthetic interest and all of the cult stuff, like, for me, I can just, for the Imperials, the whole Nibonese description of their society and so on, and all the intricate tattoos and different cultural practices and stuff they have, like, for every, like, little different tribe there is in, like, Argonia that's like, oh, they've got these unique customs and so on, that's kind of, like, often the case for a lot of other cultures. It's just that the other cult have such a dominating, like, sort of frontline culture that that there is. Do you know what I mean? Like, sort of, so like the...
Oh, for sure. I'm not arguing the Argonians are the best because of the subcultures anyway. I do like the biology a lot. I don't think you can put them as 10.
No, maybe not.
There's
for
no
this
way
list.
You can rank them above Imperials. I think you'll change your mind.
So, no, I honestly, it's my bottom in terms of personal, but I can completely, like, I'm open to putting it above for a combined list, like an aggregate, you know, sort of thing. I can put them above Imperials for sure.
Guys, he's going to make it a 9.
But, a 9. Like, I can't... Like,
a side note about those mud huts is, like, the idea is that it's not supposed to be beautiful, but the idea is that nothing's permanent. They don't get attached to things, so they kind of let it disappear. And it's kind of like the way Black Marsh is in general, is that everything is constantly changing and moving, and it's why no culture can, you know, conquer them or properly establish it as, you know, part of their empires or whatever. But I mean, like, what I'm noticing both of you are saying, which is funny because in a way you're kind of using the same thing to make different arguments, is that the mystery of them, you'll never truly know what lies at the heart of Black Marsh, for example, like whether you're talking physically or just about their culture, you'll never truly know their relationship with a Hist. And, you know, Scott, you're kind of saying, which makes total sense, that because of that, they don't really fit in. Like, they've got the only language that doesn't derive from Altmeris, from Elnifex, sorry. And then Michael, you're kind of saying the opposite, which is the mystery is really adds to it. And I agree with that personally. Mm. But yeah.
I kind of like a balance. Like, I just think there's a bit more of a balance with the mystery. Like, there's mystery to a lot of... There's other parts of other cultures that have mystery or, like, things that are up for the day, up debate, like origins of the Khajiit, being elven or not. It probably is elven, but like even like the whole ooze thing for the Bosma in their origin story. Like, I think all of them, it's just my personal thing. I just think a lot of others have as interesting origins. But yeah, like, but okay. A lot of the mystery comes to the Hist stuff of things, which kind of becomes less about the Argonians and more about, oh, did they come from another realm? Like, what's in the center of there? Some giant Hist tree that's super cool or something. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's other things as well. They've got their own special, like, drugs and stuff. There's the whole thing with the Blackwood Company, which was cool. But anyway, let's move up. I think I should say why I've got orcs as 8.
Bretons. You've both got Bretons. And
we've both got them at number 10. So we can argue why we think they should be lower than the Argonians, okay, for example.
I think one thing that gets forgot with Bretons is the one thing immediately is people just go, like, feudal, sort of, like, France or something, or like they're based, do you know what I mean? Like, they're just sort of a bit more typical in that regard. And there is that, and there's all of the political intrigue and so on. Historically, they're quite important. But I also like their whole origin as the idea of them being needy. You know, they're basically results of forced sex with high elves, the Draenei high elves, and what resulted of that. And, like, you know, a little magical blood in a human shape is cool. But one thing that I really, really like and why it sets Bretons a little bit higher for me is the Reachmen and all of their lore and stuff, because they are Bretons by, like, blood. And they've got a really cool, interesting religion and cultural kind of stuff. And I love their friction with the Nords and also the other Bretons and so on. And I like little bits and pieces, like the heroic culture kind of stuff. And, like, they're still not near my top kind of thing, but, like, I just don't think they're as bottom. And also, all of the Nightblade kind of typical kind of stuff. Like, I big kingdoms and castles and secret Nightblades going in, and you've got all of that Game of Thrones kind of intrigue. And I remember reading about, like, King Emmerich and stuff, and that was one thing I really did like that the original base game of ESO added. And also the whole thing with the Dukarak, the Black Drake, the big Reachman king who you know came up from nowhere and united all these clans, and then ended up even taking the Ruby Throne and starting a short lived dynasty called the Longhouse Emperors and so on, and stuff like that. And then, you know, there's stuff with, like, Red Eagle and so on, but still, there's not my top, but I don't think they're not in my bottom three for those reasons.
Yeah, okay. I think it's kind of, they get the short end of the stick because they do somewhat in the games have uninspired character design. You can see a Breton and just assume it's an Imperial, for example. That, not like, you know, the kind of the idea is they should have, like, maybe slightly long gangly fingers or, you know, elven ears, and just they look very fey is how I imagine
them.
Yeah.
Do you know in the Oblivion rule book for like back when games had like little instruction manuals. The pictures in there, the Breton there has like these sort of like lithe fingers and stuff like that, and he looks a little bit different and stuff. And I agree, it would even be better if it were, they were more like that.
100% agree. It's actually something I wanted to say. It almost looks in that Oblivion art like they could be swimming underwater, you know, like as this kind of weird, almost mermaidy type thing. Not that that's what I would want them to be. I'm just saying I definitely agree. I like the idea of them being a bit more elven, a lot more. Like in Skyrim, they kind of just, I don't know, they had like this pug vibes. Like, I don't know what to say. The first preset, I was just like, and they had these really strong forehead wrinkles. And I was just like, this is not the way I really imagined, you know, Bretons to be, especially when I was playing Oblivion as a kid. Especially when I would play as a Breton, I really imagined that I was this kind of, you know, human character, but with this really cool tinge of magical like affinity and more of an arcane feel to it. And that's something I really liked. But I guess with Skyrim's incarnation of them, it does feel a little bit lost. But if I do include the Reachmen, I can put them above Imperials. You know, I'll make that a 9.
I considered that, but I still didn't think it was enough. But I mean, like, it seemed shallow, but at the end of the day, what screws the Bretons is aesthetics. Like, even their architecture, I was reading in the Pocket Guide that their architecture is described as having an austere grandeur. So basically, like, that's kind of a paradox in itself, but it's like, the whole idea is it's harsh and just plain and just purely for practicality purpose. Which at the end of the, you kind of need that in a fantasy setting, but it doesn't really set you apart. Kind of makes you a bit boring compared to all the other races.
But then again, I guess they are kind of like, they're the only ones that are kind of, I guess arguably Imperials in areas. But besides that, like being next to Hammerfell and Skyrim, it's kind of, it's typical because it's typical medieval, but it's typical medieval in a world where everything else is not as
right
typical.
So it stands out because it's normal in a place.
Well,
it's not
I wouldn't say stands. Yeah, I wouldn't say stands out, but I it's not like all of the other ones next to him also look like it, if you know what I mean. But
I know what you mean. I appreciate that classic vibe going back to that.
I'm also not set, like, this is how I feel about pretty much anything below like number 4 or 5 or something. I'm not like, oh, super set on positioning. Like, I can easily cop Argonians being higher. I think Imperials is probably a 10, is probably the better 10. Would we agree on that?
I think it's individual people that make Imperials more interesting. Fair. So I think it's fair, like, as a race in general, they could be number 10.
And what, 9 Bretons?
Yeah.
And then would we put... So we're going to have to discuss the orcs in a second, so because it's basically Ultima versus orcs, right?
You had. Well, what about? I mean, I would put Argonians lower than orcs, matter what.
I agree.
But you would have orcs pretty high tier.
So that's probably the main one where it's like very subjective, just because I like them. But I can make a decent argument for why I'd put them so high. But I won't do that yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I will kind of push you into doing that by giving my take on the orcs.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so they're basically just Shrek. No,
I don't like green. Yeah.
This is my swamp.
But they've got layers. That's the thing.
I like the whole culture, like the whole chieftain thing and how it's very aggressive and they train to fight and kind of the chieftain take, it's a winner take all society, you know, the chieftain mates with all the females and then the sons fight and then eventually kill their father and become chieftain and so on. And then I do find it interesting how there's the city orcs, you know, you have orcs who don't want that lifestyle and they go off, you know, they don't want to just be another chieftain's wife, or they don't want to just live a violent lifestyle. Maybe they want to find romance and have a wife to call their own. And the whole Malakath Trinimax story is cool.
Don't forget Orsinium.
All of that. And Orsinium's cool. But I guess that's one of the things, at least to me, is it's hard to compete with the other playable races when you don't have a solid province to yourself filled with cool stuff which adds to the lore. Hold on. There's a lot of cool stuff with Orsinium. I'm just saying, like, it's a province does add a lot more potential for different things to be explored, different factions within the races and so on. And I mean, the whole idea that the orcs are just warring with each other and stuff is a theme you see in other places as well, like Warhammer 40k. Like, if they could only come together, they'd be so powerful, but they always lose because they war amongst themselves. And I do know it's not just a big monoculture. I know that because they dispersed, it's not just like they're all the same and they all believe the same thing. But I don't know, man. They're just... it's just Shrek.
I feel like I know where Drew's going to go with it in his defense and stuff.
Me too.
And it's like,
me too.
But I'll just throw out one little thing. Like, part of their appeal to a lot of people is for the reasons that you listed, is that they are these outcasts, this prior folk, that they have this sort of like stubborn resilience, almost like... this makes them sound horrible, but like cockroaches, they just won't die. They keep coming back and stuff like that. But Drew, you can extrapolate. You know.
I like them.
Yeah,
let me
try and explain why I like them after you just call them cockroaches, basically. This is going to be easy. No, but I mean, I think the thing is, the reason I like them so much is because, in my opinion, they have the single best creation story. So... that's not everything about a race, but that alone is why I think they're the best. Because they have the typical creation story of the Aldmer in general. I mean, this is putting aside the theory that they're indigenous and they're not related whatsoever to the elves. But if we assume that they are, you know, they have this... yeah, I mean, you know what the high elves are like. They're obsessed with purity. And then you have a group of these people who follow Trinimac. Trinimac goes through his ordeal with Boethia, gets consumed and how do I say this without getting demonetized?
Excreted
out. And you develop an entire culture based around that. So they're the only culture that kind of, they have their creation story imposed on them. And no matter how hard they try to say, oh, you know, Trinimac's not exactly Malakath, you know, I mean, nobody's buying that. Not even the orcs are buying that.
I mean, I think they all have their own creations imposed on them. And I mean, look, if you
creation
think being
story,
excreted,
not creation.
If
just
being excreted and kind of covering yourself in excrement and changing into something is like cool.
I think it's fascinating in terms of like creating characters out of it.
Me too.
I mean, I don't believe orcs belong in the bottom tier. Like, I'm not a bottom tier orc. Did you guys have high elves both?
Yeah.
I reckon like 10 Imperials, 9 Bretons, 8 High Elf is a pretty settled bottom tier.
Yep.
Well let's dive into like the middle tier, and I'll just list what I had. So I had in number 7 I had Breton, number 6 I had Orc, and number 5 I had Bosma. What do you boys have? Or did you
in which position, sorry?
Sorry, I had 7 Breton, 6 Orc, 5 Bosma.
I have in number 5. Did you go 5, 6, 7?
Start with
7.
Like, go with
7. Is 7 for me was Altmar, but I guess I would put Orcs there now.
Yeah. Oh, no, just tell us what you originally had and then we'll sort one.
Originally, 7 was High Elves. 6 was actually Red Guards.
Okay.
And 5 was Nords.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. And then Drew mentioned, what were yours?
Well, this isn't set in stone, but essentially it's Bosma, Red Guard, Argonian. 7, 6, 5.
Okay. So let's just get the big ones. Like, what's the Nord? Well, why is the Nord so low by comparison?
They're not low. They're 5. I mean, 5's pretty good still.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that you're going to say about Nords, I'm going to agree with. And I think Nords are cool. And I don't know if it's just because you get sick of them because of Skyrim and because dragons. And you've just, you know, Skyrim's been released 1,000 times. But to me, they're just not as interesting as some of the other races, which I will justify later on. I mean, they're ranked pretty good still. It's not like they're bottom tier. They're the very top of my middle tier, you know?
Yeah.
I like, you know, all the Izgrimor stuff and, yeah, Sovngarde and Mead and Dance and the Thum and all that was cooler. I liked the tongues in the past.
Yeah.
A bit more before they made it like just like the Dragonborn thing specifically, like, you know, shouting down the wall of a castle in a siege or something like that's really awesome. And obviously there's all the high testosterone, badass Viking kind of vibes. But to me, again, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just,
yeah,
they're just not in my top 3, for example.
I just really like their, besides all the aesthetic, like Vikings and stuff are cool, as much as there's a lot of it that is there. But a lot of it's all the stuff outside of the dragon cult for me and so on, and all of the and also in terms of interconnectedness, they are like champions of it. They've been pretty much everywhere for every significant event. They're really intertwined with Morrowind. I really like the dynamic. I like them being having a dead god as their favorite god. Like, bar the imperialized Talos stuff of, like, you know, the last 200 years or whatever. For most of history, Shore is their sort of top dog in terms of, like, who they care about. I like that it's very explicit and about it. And it's cool that they're worshipping this dead god. And if you read the songs of Ismir Wulfarth and stuff, and him is talking about, like, he was sort of in their story, in their version of the Battle of Red Mountain, they were sort of, like, tempted by Dagoth Ur, who came to them and said, oh, I know where the heart of your god is. Like, we can kind of, like, basically in a bid to kind of resurrect him and so on. And I love the story. I love their pantheon, I think, is the way to make the eight divines sound coolest, I think. And I really like their more sort of hardcore kind of, like, having Stendar as a god of ransom, as, like, a real, like, Nordic thing. But yeah, they've just got so many characters and ballads and songs of history. And I like the whole concept of creation of the voice. Like, you can, well, at least this is what I would think that the people who originally designed them is you've got the Nords. And so they're obviously based off, you know, Scandinavian types, Norse Vikings and stuff like that. But one real popular part of their culture was bards and music and Norse and like songs and all that kind of stuff. And then they've sort of combined that and amplified it and turned it into a whole magical power called the Thum, the voice. And it becomes such an essential part of their
which, just as a side note, is cool because the Red Guards and the Dwemer kind of did the exact same thing.
I don't think I can cop Nord mid tier. I don't know.
I'd have Nord's top as well. I mean, like, just to vaguely go over it, we'll probably talk about it more. But yeah, like, the animal totems is, like, it's just such a cool pantheon using the Thum the way they do. But yeah, like, Skyrim as a game kind of just made them Viking. You know, like, yeah. That's unfair. But they really, really, like, took out some of the character. And I mean, I don't want to talk about it too much now because, Scott, you're pretty much finished with a video that's coming out very soon about some of their demon chieftains and things like this. Like, you know, these stories, to be honest, they're probably embellished a bit by people like Vivek, but these chieftains who, you know, like, eat mud and resurrect their dead soldiers from the ground and things like that. It's just they have a lot of really cool lore that you can only find for environmental storytelling in Skyrim.
I mean, to be honest, that's the case with pretty much every race. If you stripped all of the books and environmental storytelling and you're just, like, hearing what you hear in the mainline dialogue, it's not as, none of the races are as good. But
I've got to admit, you are convincing me. And one of the reasons is when I first made my list, I actually had Nords as number 3.
Mm.
So I think I can compromise and put it up to number 4 in my list.
Yeah.
This is the thing. Everything you're saying, I agree. Like, I think the Nords are really, really cool. I just think there are other races that have lore that's even cooler.
By having we can come back to Nords. So for my list, I had, like, Bretons, and so we've sorted their positioning and so on. Interestingly, we can go back to Orcs real briefly, because you had Orcs lower, I've got Orcs mid, but Drew, you've got Orcs obviously higher. So is there any, like, is it just a personal preference that, like, you just,
I think it mostly comes down to the idea that it's through their creation story, essentially, through their relationship with Malekith and their relationship with all the other elves. It's the same reason I like Malekith, is because he is the one Daedric prince who really doesn't get along with the rest of them. They all look down on him, just like the races look down on the elves look down on the Orsimer. But I'm not going to have them high tier, even though I really like them, so that's fine.
We'll put Orcs. Would you cop middle tier, Michael?
Oh, yeah. Oh, right, me, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, bottom and middle tier? Well, let's... Oh, sorry, where did you guys have Bosma again?
I haven't said, which means I have Bosma quite high.
Okay, all right. Well, I have Bosma at number 5. To talk about them, like, I think they are... They're one of the more interesting takes on elves in terms of they... went and sort of against the grain. The typical wood elf that you sort of hear in a lot of, like, fantasy stuff is, oh, yay, we just sit here and eat vegetables and like, it's all romantic and love and stuff. But it has this very primitive, like, with the Green Pact and the cannibalism and the all being strict carnivores and so on, and instead they've sort of twisted it a bit, like you can't damage any of the vegetation of the forest because you love it so much, so, and you know, because the deal with the god and so on, and the Wild Hunt thing's really cool, but like that culture, it just, it kind of, I'm a big fan of cultures that I would call like unpalatable, like they're, I don't like it when a culture is so squeaky clean that you love everything about them. Like, I like it when there is that little bit like, oh, that's a little bit gross, but like, it's interesting. So, you know, obviously like ritual cannibalism is a thing that doesn't, you know, really agree with modern sensibilities and so on. So it's something that like, it's intriguing. Obviously also Little Wood Elves and Masters of Archery. I also really love it in they started bringing it back into ESO a bit. I like the idea they're playing a bit more on the... their origins as bestial sort of like crazy creatures and stuff before they made the Green Pact, because you can have like little antlers and little like little sort of like animalistic decals that make them a little bit more wild looking and so on, and I do prefer wood elves, the wood elves men being really short, like I think that's also cool, just being like light jumping through the trees with bows and stuff. And yeah, and they've got some interesting lores which I haven't looked into in the biggest depth of, but the Wilder King and so on, he's like a sort of like a living god kind of thing. I don't want to go too much into it, but still, there, I think there's a lot. And also, the whole concept of a moving tree city and stuff is pretty cool. Like, I'm, yeah, I do like the Bosmer. They're like, I mean, they're my second favorite elf.
I feel like they're getting pushed up your list a little bit more. I really do like them. Like you were saying, one thing that I really like about them is actually the polarity between the kind of side of them where they're like relaxed and romantic and chill. And there's even this, there's this piece of lore from Elder Scrolls Online that they're actually the most fertile elven race. Like they're quite fertile for elves. And they have the highest elvish population because they are, shall we say, the most amorously inclined, if you get what I'm saying. Mm. So I can really vibe the wood elves as being spiritual and loving to each other, but then also in war, they're like super aggressive and freakishly agile and relentless. And I just like the kind of mashup of those two ideas that they're, you know, there's this really nice side to them, but then this really kind of, I guess, scary animalistic side to them. And the whole thing like drinking fermented pig's milk as an alcoholic beverage and fasting before battle, because when they kill their enemies, they're going to eat them, is just sick.
I guess to add a little more into my appeal, like it's the contrast of the unpalatable and the really good. So like, you know, the Bosmer are known as one of the most friendliest races in all of Tamriel, and they have generally have had good relations with a lot of people. Yet at the same time, they've got that like flip side, like the cannibalistic sort of thing and the carnivorism and so on. But I like also that, you know, in a typical world building scenario, they go, oh, they're cannibalistic. Oh, then they've got to hunt everyone and be evil and so on. But instead, their cannibalistic sort of tendencies have actually made them more peaceful, because if they get into a giant war, they've got to eat all the corpses and they've got to do it. And this is, it's more preferable to be, you know, chill and so on and not have people die. And oh, the other thing is too, like their weird customs, the mourning wars, where they have that weird thing where they like kidnap someone and then like kind of adopt them as a member of the family. So say you'll have to double check, but it's basically like, say you killed my sister, I could then go and kidnap someone from your clan and then they replace my sister and live as my sister, if that makes sense. Like a weird...
I mean, isn't that what the vampire... Is it the Kyrilth from Valen?
Oh, no, that's one of them that impersonates...
One of them impersonates a child after eating it? Yeah. There's some really crazy vampire stuff. They've also got the were-creatures too, like the were-vultures and so on.
Yeah. But I think... maybe I will even cop putting them up high. I don't know. Drew, do you have anything to contest?
Wood elves themselves don't become were-creatures, right?
No.
It's frowned upon. Yeah, okay. That they just exist in the region.
Would you...
I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, look, everything that's been said so far pretty much sums it up. It's like, they're probably some of the best interpretation of wood elves I've seen, you know, in most fantasy universes. And they are really cool. So I would absolutely be happy to put them higher.
What's the deal with Red Guards again, you guys?
We haven't talked about Red Guards yet. I had Red Guards as number 6.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that they're... And I mean, you can kind of guess why when you've heard about the ones that I've really enjoyed and talked about so far. It just, it kind of has to push other cool ones down the list. But I think the Red Guards are still super, super cool. For me, they're mid-tier, but like they're so much more interesting than the Bredens to me that I would be happy for them, for Elder Scrolls 6 to be set if it was going to be in just one province in Hammerfell over High Rock. As much as I think from the trailer it looks more like High Rock, I think the game in Hammerfell would be really, really interesting. Oh, I mean, come on, they have giant spirit swords. They manifest out of nothing, but their own will and all of that. I don't want them in Elder Scrolls 6 to just make sword singing like the dragon shouts and like, oh, you're a sword singer, even if you're a mage, and then you pull out some spectral sword and start slashing. I don't want that. And I like all the warrior stuff, and their pantheon's really cool, like all the different cool names. That's the, and the lore with that is probably why you like
it. Yeah, I really like, besides the, you know, so, you know, besides the fact that they're essentially just North African samurai, like they've got the aesthetic trappings of like, you know, sort of, you know, got some Moroccan stuff in there and probably things that stretch across like, you know, Libyan sort of like, I think, I forget the tribal name, Tuaregs or something. And then they've also got, you know, little bits of like Middle Eastern stuff. But if you actually look at their culture and also their history of Yakuza, it's basically Japanese history transposed into the Elder Scrolls. Like it's a pretty, it's almost a pretty big rip, but it's actually really, really cool. It's like, but their, yeah, their theology is also really cool and airtight. And interestingly, and it's for the similar reason I like Dark Elves a lot, is they go against the cultural grain. So as a general rule, you've got the elves, which are what you call like Anuic, which are, they're basically in favor of, they don't like what Lorcan did essentially, or you've got the Padameic, which is essentially like pro Lorcan groups, of which are generally men. But they are interestingly like what you call Anuic, men, like they're the only race of men that their sort of theology, they sort of see Lorcan or Sep as like a really bad dude for basically screwing them all over and so on. And I love the idea of the world serpent, like a big Ouroboros kind of thing, and it, like the world, like for Kalpas, like shedding its skin, like stuff like that. And also besides that, like the Red Guards are another real fundamental sort of part in history. And yeah, I just think they're, and also like, it's pretty badass when they just sort of, they just rock up and claim a province, like, you know, in the early first era. And it's like, they just, I don't know, they're cool. And curved swords, dudes, curved swords.
Well, then Gade and Shinji's pretty cool too.
Mm. But that's a cool thing about the sword singing in general. It's like, obviously they're warriors. Like you can just look at the Book of Circles and, you know, they've got, I'd never be able to say the exact number, but at 9,000 different moves or stances or something like that. But the idea is that back in Yakuza, their creative passion was, you know, they were artisans and poets and things like this. But because of the constant civil wars, they meditated on their creativity and it kind of transcended into a new form of magic. And that's how they were able to turn their like artistic energy into spirit swords and the Shihai. And this was all born from that. So it's kind of like there's potential for more than just we're warriors and we, you know, we will kill you if we see you, to a, you know, a very sophisticated culture as well.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. 100%. The other thing that's quite cool about them is that, like, with races, their weaknesses are cool. Like, I talked about the Argonians almost being slaves to the Hist. There's this cool little thing about the Red Guards where it talks about how they're so fierce and independent to the point where they are said to actually serve better as, like, scouts or adventurers or kind of solo warriors as opposed to, like, rank-and-file soldiers and stuff, which I think, I just like that little piece of lore. And by the way, I just want to add, Scott and I did make the ideal Elder Scrolls 6 Hammerfell. So if you're interested in hearing about our ideal Hammerfell game, definitely check that video out.
So you guys both had Red Guards mid tier?
Yeah.
Because I've got them in my like top tier, like at the bottom. So like, yeah, I've got them in number 4. We've got to find out where are we at with the middle tier?
I think one thing about the Red Guards, I don't really mind where they are, but I would say they have to be lower than Nords, personally.
Yeah,
I think Nords are the best humans.
I agree.
Yeah.
Just because the one thing, and maybe it's a little bit of Dunmer bias leaking in, but the Nords are just so interconnected to everything. And I also think the voice and all of that is just way more, epic and cool. I prefer their pantheon. I love the Redguard pantheon, but I prefer the Nords one still.
And I'm more fascinated by Admora than I am by Yakuza, personally.
Yeah. Well, okay, so, but I, like, what have we got? Should we make...
We could slot Redguard in number four. Or five, sorry, five.
Yeah, I could, but what... So, and then... Where are we going to put Orc, though?
Well, this is the problem. When we'll
put
Orc
below Redguards.
You're going to realize that the whole thing is all jumbled up.
Should we kind of discuss top tiers then first?
Yeah. Because
the top tier, by the way, guys, excludes like the number one. Like it's the next, it's the three grouped before our number one. So I think we should probably try and like discuss the rest of ours and then kind of go. So top tier for me is Redguards at number four. Three, I have number Khajiit. And then two, I have Nords.
Okay. What about you, Drew?
I've got Orcs at four, Nords at three, and Khajiit at two.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I actually have. I actually like the Bosmas so much that I will have them at number two.
Okay.
I've got the... that would put the Argonians at three.
Yeah.
I gotta stick up for my Argonian brothers and sisters in the audience, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then at number four I would have Nords.
Okay. The Argonians is gonna be a real hard sell for me.
But... Don't worry. I am actually happy to put them below Nords. Like if I'm being really objective and not just like I like all the stuff I said I like about them, I won't be a hard case to move them down.
Has everyone?
But I won't let you put them as 10 or 9.
Has everyone got one as Dunma?
Yes.
Yeah.
You said the word.
The word.
You said Dunma. We were never going to talk about them. But no, they just didn't deserve a place on the list at all because they're below 10.
Yeah.
Basically. They're just boring.
Look, we'll just settle this now. The Dunma just have the most interesting like theology. They're vital to like the storyline of Tamriel, I'd say. Like, they're just so important and they're just so awesome. Like, because they also, they have an interesting theology twice over. So, like, I often find that you have a culture, so say you have the Nordic culture and then they've got that imperialized sort of, they're just doing the Eight Divines now and it kind of got worse for it. Whereas you have the Khmer sort of traditional Daedric god culture. That's really cool in itself and it's got a really cool... like theology, then the living gods come around and there's that whole conflict at Battle Red Mountain. And then they have an even cool, like a really, really cool mythology as well. So they're like cultural change. Like they're cool consistently, if that makes sense.
I 100% agree. Yeah. And when I was doing the ranking, I almost didn't want to put Dunma as first because I know that you would. Mm. And it's that kind of role fulfilling thing where you're like, well, they're going to put that as first. So I have to be different. But then I just put out all of the criteria that I could. You know, and I'm like, even like architecture, they just win massively.
Yeah.
You get, you know, architecture, history, pantheon, like even what they look like, all their armor styles and stuff like that is really, really cool. Their province is really cool. They're just so high tier in so many categories that I couldn't rank them any lower, even though I know it's a typical answer, even though I said I knew you were going to do Dunma. I mean, there's a reason I was drawn to them. When you brought to our primary school, the guide for Oblivion, like back when they had the little manuals and stuff, I picked Dark Elf and that was my first character ever in any Elder Scrolls game was a Dark Elf Conjurer. And even before Skyrim, I can remember talking about it, how I was going to make a Dark Elf character for whatever reason with two war axes. I think I was just a little kid and I was so G'd to have dual wielding. I was like, yes, I'm going to have two axes. But they're just they're too good.
I think we can. We'll save the talk on Dunma. They're the top. They're done. They're the top one. But it's going to be interesting ranking the two, three, and four, and the rest of it because I feel like people figured this as well that Dunma's got to be the top. Like it's kind of hard to.
Okay, so let's talk about our definites then. Number one is Dunma
for sure,
right? For sure.
Number ten is Imperials.
Mm-hmm. Number nine, Bretons.
We'll go Bretons, and then eight.
Number eight are High Elves.
Yep.
Number seven, Orcs.
Mm-hmm.
And now it gets tricky.
I would put Argonians there. I don't know if
Argonians.
I'm such a Argonians mid of the like.
I mean, this is the thing. We're gonna have to compromise. Yeah. So I will put Argonians if we're trying to make like a team list. I'll put Argonians as six, but you guys know they were in my top three.
Yeah. Okay.
Red Guards five or Wood Elves?
Red Guards, man. Come on.
Red Guards. Okay.
Come on. I want Bosma. Bosma are the best. I love them. I don't like playing them for whatever reason. I never end up playing them. Maybe I just don't want to be like a little dude. But
I've played heaps of them. A lot. I guess Argonians and Imperials would be my least played. Orc was my very first character, and I do like orcs. Like, I had a Skyrim character that was like my most overpowered, best one that I made was an orc. I do really like orcs, but I know that
looked like Ben Stiller.
Yeah, apparently.
Like all your characters.
But like I had my very first character, because I've loved orcs since just the concept of orcs from Lord of the Rings and Warcraft 3 back in the day, the strategy. So my first orc character was called Thrall after the main character, which doesn't really make sense, but you know, it's not like an orc sounding name in the Elder Scrolls universe. But I don't know, like Bosma is, but I just don't know the seller over the Red Guards necessarily, because the Bosma are really cool, but Red Guards are,
well, it's a voting system here, I guess. Like, if you two are gonna make Bosma five, I will have to cop it.
I would put Red Guards probably lower than Bosma after thinking about it, by one
me too
point. I would do Bosma Red Guards five, Bosma four,
same,
and then Nords three.
Fair enough.
We've outvoted you, Scott.
All right, fair enough. Okay, well, with that listing, then we've got three and two to discuss, so
which is Nords and Khajiit.
Yeah, really. So you guys have got, what have you got number two, what have you got high, Michael?
Out of Nords and Khajiit, yeah. I had Nords higher by one rank.
Yeah, I have Nords higher by a rank too. And I know Drew's just, you know, been working on the Khajiit Pantheon video. And I'll tell you what, I've looked at the Khajiit. Like, I've read it all. I'm very familiar with it all. It's really cool. It's like kind of, I would even say, it's like, I've said this to you guys, but it was like my second favorite theology out of all of them. But there are still things about, I still think for the same reasons that elsewhere, the Khajiit, they're not as interconnected. They've got a little bit more of, and they've improved them so much with ESO elsewhere. Beforehand, they would have ranked way lower for me just because they're just, I'm a cat. It's a bit more meme-y feeling, like, haha, Skooma, or Khajiit has wares if you have coin. Like, it's very like, didn't feel like I had a lot of substance, but ESO also has really changed that. And I think their culture is really great, but even in terms of the like biology and stuff like that, I still just, I don't know.
I think I'm biased because I generally play as a Khajiit character, and I just find elsewhere the coziest. It's like everything about elsewhere in Khajiit culture I just love, even though I think if I looked at it objectively, I'd put Nords higher. But I like the Khajiit. Plus, I love all the stuff about the lunar lattice and how Azura created them, and how they're tied to the moons. It's so significant to them. I mean, yeah, I did just finish writing, or I know it's up on the channel now, isn't it?
Yeah.
A massive video on the Khajiit Pantheon. So I'm still on a bit of a high about them, but
that's the thing. Like, it also comes down to like the what script you've just written, the time of day, all that kind of stuff. That there can be small changes. What's certain is Dunma is number one undisputed champion. but
it depends on the positioning of the moons.
Yeah,
where you put Khajiit.
It does, and I think, you know, yesterday my list was so different to the list that I built this morning.
Mm.
Like, after really looking at things, so I know it does depend on what mood you're in. Like, I think the Khajiit are really, really cool. And I like their societal system with the clan mothers who disseminate information kind of autonomously from the main. And the main is also really cool. And I definitely think I've been struck by the memes in the same way of like, ha, 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 Khajiit have wares if you have coin. It's like... It's not that it's a bad meme. I've heard it too much.
I do like how they want, like, it's a good world building thing is when every element of their culture is sort of interconnected. Like their biology comes back to the moons. Their religion comes back to their moons. The substance they ingest, the moon sugars, believed to be crystallized moonlight. Like it's all, it's a very like I said, it's a very airtight, interconnected sort of religion. And also makes me like Azura and Boethia so much more. It's actually quite one thing I'll say about the Khajiit. The Khajiit the reason the theology ranks so highly for me is because generally most fall into Daedra worshippers or Aelid worship Aedra worshippers, or they have various like namings of those pantheons. Like, you know, Yakudans, Red Guards are pretty much all, they're just, you know, Aedra, same as the Nords, same as the Imperials, same as the Elves. And then you've got Dark Elves, which is sort of all concerned with Daedra. But they have got both Aedra and Daedra, but have got them in a really, they've kind of got their own spin on them. They're not like, oh, here's the Imperial Divines and everything else. They're bad demons, Daedra. It's like, they all have this very like special place, and some of them have like creative takes on them as well. And I like the divisions into, there isn't any Aedra or Daedra because they're not concerned with our ancestors or this ancestors. They kind of have it as like sky spirits, wandering spirits, earth spirits. What was the other one, Drew?
There's adversaries. And dark. And like, I mean, to add to that, they even have, they have some really cool unique gods that are just essentially like ancestors to them. You know, like they've got Rajin, who's the thief god who stole a tattoo from the Empress's neck and stole the ring off of Mephala's arm. And then they have the main. So the main is born under an eclipse, and it's like, you know, the kind of like, the idea is that they're forced to be the spiritual leader based on their birth, and they don't have any choice in the matter. And, you know, one of them had this thing called a Riddlefar epiphany where he realized, you know, our lives are dictated by the moons. So why not our political governance as well? So rather than all these kingdoms warring, judging by the moons, that decided who was in charge at what time. And it's why they don't really war to nearly as much as the other races. But then again, that did change. But yeah, it's cool how everything ties to the moons in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is really...
They are really cool.
It is really good, but I just still, like, I think... If I was to think, too, about the history more so, I'm way more in it for the Nords and so on. Mm. Like, I don't know. It's just... they're just cooler to me. I really do like the Khajiit. Like, it's a tie... It's not like... Nords by a mile. It's just a little bit, because the one thing at the end of the day is elsewhere in the Khajiit are not that interconnected to the rest of the world, and I think that's how it kind of started when you start. And I feel like a lot of like even fantasy worlds in general sort of suffer from this, is they have all of their beast races and they go like, oh, here they're really cool like aesthetically, because you can be a cat man or a lizard man, it's really cool. But then they don't really have that, they don't interconnect them as much, whereas for other races, when they make a human, they're like, oh well, it's just a generic human, we have to make them interesting some other way. Whereas the appropriate way to go about it is like, here's the beast race and then make it so. But because a lot of the interesting stuff has come sort of post ESO elsewhere, they're just still not that interconnected. They're cool, there's cool stuff with I like their description of how they were kind of treated as one and the same as the Bosma, kind of like similar people before Azura changed them. But yeah, they do have I would definitely check out the Khajiit gods video, guys, because it's really, really good. But I mean unless you guys would change, but I still think Nord's number two. What do you guys think?
Yeah, if I'm just looking at the list I've made, I put Nords 2 and Khajiit 3. I mean, I also agree that the Khajiit is super cool. Somehow ended up as my first Skyrim character. It didn't end up as the Dark Elf that I had planned. And I ended up wearing a poncho, the Archmage robes. I think Khajiit 3. Khajiit 3, Nords 2. I really like the Pantheon. I really like that there's Daedra and Aedra. Specifically their take on the Daedra, like Sanguine being more like a distraction than like a kind of evil god. And they're kind of hedonistic with all their moon sugar and stuff like that, which is interesting. I think I've got a total list here if you want me to read it.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so this is, you've all heard our subjective takes, which is very different from the final list, but the compromised list is Dunmer, Nords, Khajiit, Bosma, Redguards, Argonians, Orcs, High Elves, Bretons, and Imperials.
Yeah, I think I'm relatively happy with that list. Like for my original list was Dunmer, Nord, Khajiit, Redguard, Bosma, so it's really not differing that much. It's like a flip for the top five. What was the last five of it again?
Argonians, Orcs, High Elves, Bretons, Imperials.
I really, like, you know, obviously, like, Argonians just aren't my favorite, so subjective, but I do like, I would put Orcs above, but I can completely understand, like, as a whole, like, if you actually look at the general ones that were along the bottom, like, Imperials and Bretons, they're closer to more, you know, generic humans. They don't have as much interesting about them. And then you have High Elves, the Ultima, which are, like, the most generic of all of the Elves. It's still cool, but, yeah,
As much as I love the Orcs, I think it's fitting that they're low on the list.
Oh, very meta. Very meta.
So I'm not against it. It's, you know, we're pariahs after all.
Yeah, same as the Argonians, you know? They're just out of the way of everything.
Mm. Yeah.
Keeping to themselves. Unless you threaten them, which you did, and they moved from number 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
To number 6. Yeah, not in your head.
Not in my head. I could like cop in my head. I could cop him at like 8 or 7, but
I mean that this is the thing. If you go and look, like I did some research. I was curious what other people thought. And you look up what's your favorite race and what's your least favorite race. The Elder Scrolls community seems to either love or hate Argonians.
Mm.
I feel like you two could kind of be the rarity when it's like, oh yeah, they're good, but they're not the best, they're not the worst. I mean, for you, Scott, it was the worst, but Drew's happy to have him in the middle. I think that's the controversial opinion because people seem to be really polarized about Argonians.
People who love the Dark Elves just view them as farm tools and that's it. But, you know, there's more to the Argonians than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, it just comes down to me, I guess, and it's like I would have put, you know, originally back in the day, like I was never a big fan of the beast races because they were like not that interconnected, not that interesting. But Khajiit, ESO elsewhere just made them so good with like all of the extra info they added. I remember being so like, that's such a nice surprise because I remember being worried like, oh, I hope Bethesda never does elsewhere or they don't touch elsewhere because they won't have all of the cool breeds and stuff and it won't be there. But they actually did it justice. They had all of the breeds there, and on top of that they really fleshed out the theology and culture and so on, and they did a epic job.
They must have watched my video. That's why I made it, obviously. I challenged them. I said Elder Scrolls 6 elsewhere would be rubbish.
Yeah.
It'd be a bad idea because they wouldn't do it justice. And maybe they wouldn't as an actual single player game. It would be harder than the online game, but I have to give credit where credit's due. They did come and do a good job for Elder Scrolls Online with elsewhere. So
I think they did a great job with Black Marsh as well. But I just think I was a little bit let down with Somerset, the way it looked at least.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but yeah, elsewhere and Black Marsh were incredible.
Yeah. And what about Greymoor? I'll tell you what, like I do. This is a little bit of a tangent, but as a general rule, like I prefer like the older, so like ESO has a very, just like some of ESO as a whole aesthetically, like some of their armors, they kind of like look a little bit more like modern or like Warcraft, World of Warcraft-ish looking, like they don't look as real. I don't mind fantasy looking armors, but I like them sort of within the realm of reality, if that makes sense. Like Oblivion, for example, had it right, or like Skyrim mostly had it right, I think, but at some points it even like pushes it a little bit. But I do prefer the more, you know, traditional looking armors, you know, because like, you know, look at the Ordinator armor set. Like you can make beast looking armor that's obviously not the most practical, but it's not kind of, I don't know, it just, I just don't like it looking like it's made in a factory, if that makes sense, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you do see that when you're playing Elder Scrolls Online, but you kind of get used to it. I mean, in Skyrim, the Daedric armor is all crazy, but I mean, it's Daedric, so you kind of give it a pass as like, okay, like, you know, there can be one super unrealistic fantasy armor or a couple.
Yeah.
But when every armor you put on kind of looks a bit, not every, but a lot of them look very like flary.
Yeah.
It kind of feels a bit like, am I playing the MMO I think I'm playing, or am I playing WoW?
Here's a question for you guys. What do you think, and I'm curious even for people to answer this in the comments below, what do you think is going to be the most controversial of all of our picks? The one that is going to anger people the most, like the most amount of people angered about a pick. So obviously like one of the lower ones, like I feel like there'll be a bunch of people out there that do like, probably not the most angered, but a lot of people do like Bretons. And I think it's a lot.
I mean, I like Bretons.
No, it's because they play as them as lot and so on, and yeah, they like them. And a lot of people do love the, like I'm pretty sure it's a popular D&D sort of character is to play the half elf, the half man, half elf. Like it's like, oh yeah, spicy. It's like human, but a little bit better than you. Like that's what they like. You know what I mean? But then they're not a full haughty elf. We didn't put Argonians that low, so I don't think that will be
No, I think people will just be mad at our individual takes.
Yeah.
I think our end list was all right, but they'll be like, oh, Scott, how could you put Argonians last?
Yeah, I don't know, man. They just don't.
People will agree with you. People will agree with you as well. They're loved and hated.
To be fair, and this is the thing, as Elder Scrolls has developed, like all of them are pretty good. Like, for example, and obviously from all our Skyrim builds, I've played every single race multiple times. Like, I can play Argonian characters and have a heaps fun time. Like, this is really cool. And I get into their lore and make all the backstory and the role playing for them. But they're still my least, you know. I don't know, man.
Just fair enough.
Just some lizards, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I played a Breton in the D&D we did ages ago, and I still had them last. So it's like all of them have really good lore. It's just some have more. And I mean, the reason the Dunmer are the best is because there was the most lore and the most inspired lore. It was like Bethesda were just at their peak for world building at that point.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's why... Well, they turned out the best. And I think the High Elves could have turned out the best had they just made Somerset instead of Morrowind as a game.
That's kind of the thing. Like with a lot of them, like if you were to view what all of Tamriel looked like through the lens of Morrowind, it's so much more epic and so on. Like even the Nords and stuff like that, you just had a different idea of it, because Nords was actually a while, like when I was younger playing Oblivion, I had this Nord character and Nord sort of became my favorite because I was right into all of the Vikings and stuff like that. And funnily enough, like I was into like Scottish stuff as well, and I really conflated like a Highlander sort of thing. I had this like Highlander character with a claymore and stuff but I was just so into it. And I just remember like thinking about it. I was like, oh, it's gonna be so mountainous and rugged and snowy and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's the kind of cynicism that comes about when you start really getting into lore, is you realize how much cooler it sounds in the books versus the actuality. But people go, oh, well, you know, oh, because it's just exaggeration or embellishment or whatever. Yeah, but Morrowind was as cool as it sounds in the books. You know what I mean? Like, that's the problem. Like, it's obviously can be done. Whoa.
To be fair though, Skyrim is very rugged, mountainous, and snowy. Just not as much as they said.
Yeah, well, they didn't describe in the way that like they sort of had like they used to have like a big, you know, they'd have forts and stuff at the top of mountains of valleys, and that's where they'd look over it. And then there's these big, you know, like it's supposed to kind of be all mountain. Like originally, the Reach was so fought over, and this is a crucial lore reason for the Reach, is that it was like the only big fertile land in all of Skyrim. The rest was all rugged and snowy and, you know, borderline inhabitable, unless you're a Nord who's basically immune to the cold. I mean, you could live there, but, you know, you had to rug up. Whereas the Reach was fought over by everyone because of it, because of how fertile it was and so on. But when you actually come to it in Skyrim, it kind of looks like one of the least fertile places. It's heaps rocky and kind of barren looking and stuff, and they kind of did the Reachmen dirty a little bit, and they make them way more savage than they kind of, which you can also see like how like the evolution and stuff happened. But I feel like there could have been a little bit more nuance to them, like running around in tribal rags is, you know, unwise against fully armored enemies, but whatever.
to be fair though, I and it could be because I played Skyrim before knowing all of the lore about it from the past, I think I prefer the current like makeup of it in terms of actually playing it. Like while it being all rugged and inhabitable sounds cool in a story, and there's the Reach that's the only fertile place, I kind of like that here are the plains of Whiterun. You know, here's this beautiful forest in Riften. Here's this and that. It makes it more interesting to play the game with all the different biomes.
Makes it more approachable to the mainstream audience as well. And I mean, like, you look at Whiterun and you kind of...
He's calling me a casual.
But when you look at Whiterun Hold, you see how clear it is that this is Rohan. You know, like, it's a lot of it is inspired by, you know, you want people who like fantasy, who obviously like Lord of the Rings, to want to play this. Whereas if it's a frozen wasteland, it's like, it's impressive that Morrowind was so consistent in visual. Like, obviously it's really unique, but it does look like one island. It looks realistic that that's all where it is. Whereas, yeah, Skyrim kind of fills every niche.
Yeah, I'm in like full agreeance. Like, sometimes I feel like they stretch. Like, I do like the game world of Skyrim. Like, I don't hate it at all. But I feel like they can do a little bit more consistently. Like, if you were to take the island of Vardenfell, for example, there are still the distinct biomes and stuff. Like, you know, even just off the... So you got the bottom, which is kind of like... It's like a bit more temperate sort of normal stuff. You've got the whole left side, the bit of coast, which is really swampy and stuff. And you've got like, you know, these kind of like boiling little areas and so on. And then as you got that north in the north west, you've got that rocky sort of area around Nissus and so on. And you've got a little bit more canyons and winding rivers and stuff in the West Gash. And then you've got... at the north, when you get to the really north, there's like lots of like archipelago sort of like spread out islands and so on. Of course, in the middle, you've got all of the big Red Mountain and all of the volcanic sort of rivers and stuff like that around it, which takes a big chunk. But, you know, around Vivec, it gets all like lush and rivery, and you've got the winding rivers that like lead you back up to Saran, I think it is, and so on. But and then on the east coast, you've got all of the Telvanni archipelago kind of stuff, and you've got the Grayslands, which is where you have like a bunch of the Ashlanders down trial. Like, it did actually have a decent amount of diversity in it while somehow feeling like a more consistent tone over it. Not that Skyrim doesn't have a consistent tone, but I just feel like you can... I always prefer, like, go and try and make it as much... Like, I try and make it as crazy as possible, then, like, dial it back for you know, casuals or whatever. Like, start from that point rather than going, oh, we've got to make it to a cat approachable for casuals first. You know, dial it back. I feel like it is a better way, like, peeling back some layers of the craziness. In the same approach to lore. And sometimes it's good.
Mate, the same approach to life.
Yeah.
Subtraction, not addition.
But there you go. There's the list. You want to give it one more read?
All right, one last read for everyone. So, in position number 1, Dunmer, 2, Nords, 3, the Khajiit, 4, Bosma, the Wood Elves, 5, Redguard, 6, Argonians, 7, Orcs, 8, the High Elves, 9, Bretons, and 10, the Imperials.
Yeah, I that's a good list. I feel like, I don't know why, I feel like it's a very democratic list. Like, I feel like a lot of people should be like, besides like one or something, they'll be like generally like agree with it, I think. But we'll see in the comments below.
That's it. So thank you everyone so much for watching. We really appreciate it. Keep watching the podcasts, sharing the podcasts, liking the podcasts, and let us know what you think.
And you got to do it. You got to say, and we'll be back to nerd out with you again.
Okay. Next time. And we'll be back to nerd out with you again very soon.
Bye.